Remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Wonderful. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's PEDNR call on Tuesday, the 30th of November, we have Alan Greenberg, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Tatiana Kramsova, Siva Mutasami, Ted Suzuki, Mike O'Connor, Barry Cobb, Ron Wickersham, Michaela Nalon, Jeff Eckhout, Paul Diaz, James Gladel, Mason Cole. From staff, we have Margie Milam, Marika Konings, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. I don't have any apologies noted. And if I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Alan.
Thank you, Gisela. Okay. All of us, I'm sure, have preparations too, so I'd like to try to go through this as quickly as possible. There's a couple of items we may want to try to actually settle, but other than that, I'd like to review where we are. In terms of Cartagena, you will remember or will have read, or it's news to you, that we decided not to have a formal meeting. It just looked like it was just too impossible to try to find a time when everyone would likely be available. That being said, it would be really advantageous if, to the extent possible, any of us could meet, be it in the hallways or sometime where we find we have a common few minutes, to try to start at discussing some of the thornier issues. They're ones that I think are going to be a lot easier discussed quietly and see if we can come to some even ground with them instead of trying to have formal negotiations and everyone defending territory. Any questions on the on Cartagena? I'm assuming everyone, pretty much everyone on this call, with the exception, I think, of Ron, who said he wouldn't be there, will be there. Is that correct? No nays. Barry will not be there either. That's too bad. I thought you were. Okay, well, we'll see what we can do, and hopefully when we reconvene, we will have made a little bit of progress at that point, but that remains to be seen. Okay, I have updated the proposal matrix again to reflect what we decided last week. And again, we have the items that are still outstanding highlighted, and I think we are still at this point going to defer the thorny discussion of the number of days. The first one that has some yellow other than those is on number 9. I think generally agreed that the concept of registrars trying to put together and host a document related to education and preventing unintended loss is a good idea. I realized when I was reviewing this that we hadn't talked about the second item, and that is the proposal that the ALAC allocate time, money, resources to a public education campaign. I think the simple answer to that is we don't have any money. And we're not really in a position to allocate staff resources, but I don't think there is any problem, and Cheryl, speak up if you think I'm speaking out of turn, since I'm going to be off the ALAC in a week, that the ALAC is certainly willing to cooperate with registrars and work towards these goals with whatever resources we can identify from within the at-large organization. So...
Yes, I agree. Cheryl here. I agree totally with that, Alan. But I would also suggest that, with the strat planning being what it is at the moment, and the key objectives outlined in it, and the possibility that should we come hand in glove with industry and suggest into a future budget cycle that specific allocation of register and derive funds might be really usefully allocated to this sort of thing, that we could have particular earmarking done in some future funding cycle. But I just note that at the moment it fits firmly in the main pillars of the current three-year strategic plan, so perhaps it's something we shouldn't leave till 2015, because it may no longer be the case that that's where ICANN is focused.
Okay. Yes, that's a good point. And certainly we can make a request on behalf of ALAC that funds be allocated. If the registrar stakeholder group would like to do a joint thing with us, not that they're a funded group within ICANN, but if they endorse the request, I think that will have that much more power and authority.
Yeah. It gives us far more teeth in our request.
I don't know where the static's coming from. Jeff, perhaps Cecilia or Kelly can figure it out.
I can hear it. If it's on my line, we've got really heavy rain, so you have to mute me. Cecilia snowed in and I'm getting flooded.
Yeah, I'm hearing a loud buzzing sound all the time at this
point. Okay, we'll mute Cheryl's line then.
And it just disappeared, so it must be Cheryl.
There we go. Cheryl's been muted, so I'll just ask her to keep us posted on...
Okay. Well, if Cheryl wants to talk, then she can... I assume she can unmute herself? Or does she have to ask? Okay, well, Cheryl, either put up your hand or unmute yourself if you want to talk, and we'll put up with the buzz at that point. Mason.
So I didn't quite make out all of what Cheryl was saying, but can you go back to the issue of allocating resources for the for an education campaign?
Yes.
What
she was saying, in addition to my statement saying we'll be glad to do our best to find people to help, is it is budget request time, and this does fall under the overall types of budget things that are in the strategic plan. Therefore, at large can certainly make a request for resources to this end. To that extent, however, if that request is supported by and endorsed by the registrar stakeholder group, it's going to be a lot harder for ICANN to refuse to do it. So even though you're not a funded unit that can request funds, your support of it might well help it go along.
Oh, I see. If we put our statement of support for that into ICANN, you mean you're more likely to get budget money for it.
I'm not sure if it's us getting money for it or ICANN devote some staff resources to it, you know, in conjunction with something that we and you are planning or want to do.
Oh, I see. All right.
So I'm not going to try to guess the form.
Yeah.
But
okay.
There is an opportunity, and so maybe. We can again try to meet in Cartagena before Constituency Day and come up with some draft words and see if your group wants to support it, and I'm sure At Large is willing to do that.
Okay. All right. Got it. Thanks.
Okay. So we will fill in that one. It's nothing really we can do in terms of formal recommendations, but it's a good way forward. The next item, which is still in yellow, is item number 15, who is that one we said we will talk to registries, and I still haven't done that. We did get a response from Michael Young, but that was from the registries, but that was purely on James's original proposal. And so I need to follow up with Michael, and I'll copy the group on it. That will be done sometime before I get on a plane on Thursday. I think our overall decision on who is we are willing to defer it as long as we see some other reasonable path to put the deliberations such that it might get done in a future who is implementation. On the other hand, if we can figure out a nice, easy way to do it, maybe we'll end up recommending it ourselves. Not seeing any hands. Okay, item number 16. In a feat of great Microsoft Word expertise, I figured out how to add two more lines to the chart without changing the line numbers. And I expect significant gold stars on my forehead for that. Thank you, Paul. Almost as good as a gold star on the forehead. What we decided at that point was it was too hairy to try to discuss the two issues separately, or together, that is whether this should be a post-expiration notice and whether we should put a recommendation in regarding the issue about addressing and not send messages to domains which we know have already been killed through the post-expiration process. So I'd like to start the discussion on the first item, which hopefully is the simple one, of can we say we have reasonable consensus that should be that there should be at least one notice sent, timing to be discussed, but and exceptions allowed, but nevertheless, with the intent that, that under normal situations, at least one post-expiration notice should be sent. I think that was the drift of the conversation we had before, that people were willing to say that if we separated two items out. Comments? Or tick marks to agree? Is anyone still out there? James?
Yes, Alan James speaking. And I think we discussed one key exception to that would be if the registrar explicitly deleted upon expiry and the name was in RTP. So,
I don't think that's an exception, but I think that has to be in the wording. So,
or
yes,
carve out.
Good point. But yes, there's a whole bunch of conditions in which notices will not need to be sent. You know, if you're already in discussion with the registrant, and you know,
Well, can I, if I could make a statement here, just that
sure.
There are numerous exceptions why a registrant would have the discretion not to send one, but in the case where they explicitly delete, they would have no longer have any control. So, I mean,
we're arguing
the distinction
over
there.
Semantics of how we word it. But there's no disagreement.
Okay.
Certainly, if it's deleted, you don't want to tell the registrant he can still renew it. He can't through that process anyway. And, you know, there are other ones that we discussed that if it's not technically renewed yet, but you're in contact with the registrant, you know, there are situations that another message would be annoying at that point. So I think yes, the wording needs to be refined, but there's no there's no intent of saying anything other than what you're describing. So can I say we have consensus, assuming the wording is proper? No disagreement, Paul.
Thanks, Alan. A quick question. I mean, as it seems we're doing very well with this chart. You know, a lot of general agreement on issues. When are we going to see things like what the timing to be specified or these other details? What's your thinking? I'm just kind of left concerned.
Well, the timing in this one I didn't think was of great urgency, and I simply haven't thought about it, and I don't think anyone else has discussed it. You know, I have no problem if someone wants to propose a time, between zero and 5 days or something like that, I'd be happy with. The thorny one of the overall renewal guarantee time, I did explicitly want to defer until we're down to that item, which I hope we'll have an opportunity to discuss face-to-face in Cartagena. This one I didn't think was thorny. I just hadn't thought of it, and I don't think anyone else had proposed anything either. If you'd like to make a proposal, I'd be happy to pen it in.
I guess for now, if why don't you go ahead and put what you just said as a placeholder? I'd just rather see all of this in as close to final form before we make efforts to say, hey, we'll support it, or here are areas of disagreement, et cetera. I'm just always troubled when we still have kind of placeholders, TBDs left in the agreement.
I obviously, we need to get rid of them all ultimately. I was just basking in the euphoria of having so much agreement. I wasn't worrying about them, but your point is well taken. I will put something in the next draft and mark it as a proposal, and other people can yay or nay it at that point. Anything else? Okay, on the item of whether we can do something with recognizing that a message is going to be sent to a registrant or to an address which we know is not working because we've disabled it already, we being the registrar in question. One of the issues was one of McKaylee's answers was a rather cryptic one of this is very difficult to do, and you don't know how we send email. And I'm wondering, now that McKaylee's on the call, if you could elaborate a little bit. If McKaylee's still on the call.
I'm on the call. I was trying to find the button. Sorry, what was this in relation to?
This is in relation to the discussion on a registrar recognizing that they have already disabled the email capability on the account. They've diverted the domain, so email will not work, and then send a reminder out to that address. And the proposal was, under those situations, the registrar should attempt, if there were other communication mechanisms available to them, in other words, other addresses they know or something to that effect, that they should use them instead of an address which they know will not work.
Okay. You're making a lot of assumptions about a billing system being tied to other things, which may or may not be the case. I mean, as things stand, a percentage of our users would sign up with a particular email address. Unless they give us another email address, there's no way for us to know what email address they're actually using. So, I mean, it kind of goes round and round in circles. There's no way for us to know that. And I mean, it's one thing to try to implement that at a level with a company with a huge number of resources to hand, but it's not going to scale when you're dealing with registrars that are dealing in more of the wholesale side of things, because again, they only have access to certain things and probably wouldn't be the ones sending the notifications anyway.
Okay, I guess I'm not quite understanding. Maybe again, this is a face-to-face one that might be easier to settle.
Well, it's not really that, Alan. I mean, it's a case of, while I can understand what you're trying to do, I just can't. It's one thing for the two of us to say, hey, that's a nice idea, and maybe a couple of the others might go, yeah, that's actually not a bad idea, maybe we could do that. But if you want to turn, hey, that's a nice idea, into, oh, this is an ICANN-mandated policy, then it's a problem.
Okay, I guess I would like to understand it better, but I'm certainly not going to debate that last statement. That's clearly true. Jeff, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I think maybe, hopefully, I can shed some light onto this.
Okay,
I think,
please.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just being dense today.
No. I think what McKelly is saying is that there are, like, for somebody like us who works in a reseller model or wholesale model, and then for some other people, there is not all the systems are tied together, and sometimes the front-end transaction is done through another through a reseller. So a lot of times you don't have the logic to say, if there's another email address, send it to that one, if it's there, when there's other people. So I think what McKelly's saying, like, it would be a nice thing to have, but to mandate that would be very disruptive and possible, because there are a lot of people where you don't have that information and that logic, and nobody ever needed it for ICANN compliance or rules to do that and to service the customer. So what happens is you don't necessarily have that information, and you don't have that ability to make those checks, so you could not be in compliance. Does that make sense?
It makes some sense. I'm not convinced, but what you're saying is you feel that there may be cases where this would be very difficult to do because of separation of systems.
Exactly.
Who's sending the message? I would guess that whoever's sending the message knows when it expired, and if it's more than 5 days, which is when things go dead, they would know. But we're not trying to design software on this call. And
I mean,
so
the thing is, Alan, I mean, it's like, for example, I can only speak to our own systems and the systems we've used. But I mean, I know that we have one system which handles billing, which then sends stuff off to another system that will talk to the registries.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a much smaller registrar, and our operations would be on a much smaller scale than Enum or GoDaddy or any of the others. And even within our own systems, you know, you will see things where this the two things, while there is a, you know, we are still sending things to the billing contact. It doesn't that you know there isn't necessarily the kind of direct contact between the systems at the kind of level that would give us that kind of knowledge. I mean, technically, Alan, it's not something that is feasible. It really isn't.
Okay. Is there a problem with saying it's the best practice?
Yes, because it's Jeff again. Sorry, that even if you wanted to do it and it would be helpful, then registrars couldn't comply with it because they don't have that data, even if they wanted to do it. So that's, I think that, and then you're saying, hey, they're not following best practices, and it could be because, you know, there are legacy, you know, deals or agreements that are set up with other large, huge customers that they're not able to get that data. And sometimes there's people don't want to share that information because even though you're a partner of theirs, I'm just saying on a reseller model here, you're still competitors in other pieces. Like, you know, for example, we supply, we have a web hosting business, but we also supply a lot of, we're a registrar and do it for a lot of web hosting companies. So that's sort of, there's those walls there that I don't think will be broken down. And even if I wanted to do it and follow a best practice, I could not do it.
Okay. Let's leave it off for now. I have an idea of something that might work for everyone, but I haven't gelled it enough to put it in words right now. So let's leave it and go on to the others. Anything going on? I'm not following the chat all that much. If there's anything going on there that I need to pay attention to, someone let me know, please.
We're just waking Mikey up as he comes up from his naps to let him know where we are.
Yeah, I saw that. I did see that part. Okay. Not much yellow here. That's good. All right. Now we're on to item number 21, and I think where we got last time, talking about the concept of best practices and whether the registrar, stakeholder group, or some other entity might be interested in formally doing something so that a registrar who wanted to follow best practices could make reference to that kind of thing. And I think last time, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Mason, but I think basically what you said was perhaps the time has come where the registrar should be looking at this kind of thing, and it's something that perhaps you'll discuss in Cartagena. And although you're obviously not in a position to sign agreements on it, you felt that maybe this was something which it's time to do.
I'm sorry, you're talking about best practices as it relates to
the concept of best practice and how do we make it something with, if not teeth, then at least some import.
Oh yeah, no, I am happy to put it on the agenda for the registrars. And yeah, you're correct. I can never predict where we're going to have any level of agreement. But yeah, I'd be happy to put it on our agenda.
Okay, and perhaps we can you and I or anyone else who wants to get involved can talk sometime before Tuesday, and try to make sure that you know whatever you're putting on the agenda is something that. I won't say meet our needs, but just that if you come out and everyone says yes, that we'll be happy with it. You don't want to go through that and then not have people happy.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that sentiment.
If you're going to get flogged, you should do it for a good reason. In other words,
don't you worry. I get flogged daily. There's 70 plus members. You're not ever going to get universal agreement with all of us.
Of course not.
So, but yes, if you want to talk beforehand, that's fine. Sure.
Okay. All right. Any other comments on the concept of best practices? I think we hashed it out very well last time, and we started on at a point where we were talking at odds with each other, and I think we ended up coming out on all in the same wavelength, so I can, for anyone who wasn't on that call, you might want to go back and find that section in the call. It was towards the end, since it is item 22. And item number 20, or rather, that was 21, autumn 22, the auto-renew grace period, and coming up with a new name for it. I think there was general agreement, if not consensus at the last call, that it was a good thing. How practical it was, we were not sure. The situation right now is there are registration agreements that make reference to the auto-renew grace period and to the registrar's own service of renewing domains with registrants, you know, with a credit card on file and such. And because the wording is so close on those two concepts, that there is some amount of confusion. And if you remember correctly, even on the registrar survey we did at the beginning of the of this working group, there were some registrars who answered who thought we were talking about one when we were talking about the other. I'm not sure we have strong enough agreement to call it consensus at this point, but I think there was certainly general agreement it was a good idea, and the suggestion was made that we should talk to registries and see if they have any issue with changing the name before we go any farther on it. Comments? None. The last item with yellow is exceptions, and I think where we were on that one was that there was a general agreement that some of these were not going to be sellable to registrars, particularly those outside of North America and Western Europe, but even some within, whose business practices are different unless we had some concept of exceptions. And the concept of exception was if you're meeting the intent but not the specifics, then you could be granted an exception. And the example that Jeff was using was you don't do it on a don't send notices at a month delay and a week delay, but something else comparable. And I think we asked Marika to go home and talk to compliance people and see how much they shuddered when this was mentioned. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just a note that I have forwarded that question to our legal team and compliance team, but I have not received any feedback yet. So I'm actually hoping to sit down with some of them in Cartagena to discuss that, and maybe that might be as well a moment if some others are available to have that discussion.
I would certainly appreciate being involved if that's possible.
Okay.
Any other comments? If not, we're finished this part of the agenda. I see no comments, no hands. Marika, if we could go on to the proposed PowerPoint presentation. This is the one to present to the GNSO.
1 second. Coming up.
Now, with one minor change, this was a presentation that Marika drafted up, and I added some charts to it to give specific examples of what the kind of results we saw in the surveys were.
Oh, Alan, hold on a second, because I think I didn't realize that you made changes, so I've just uploaded.
I'm sorry.
To me. So let me get that one off the wiki. So maybe you can already talk to it and I'll...
All right, we'll start it. I think the changes are a page or two in. Can you give us control? There is control. I see it.
Right, so this is the old one. As soon as I have the new one, I'll upload it.
Oh, I've never... Never seen these controls for a PowerPoint slide in Adobe. Right, if anyone else hasn't seen them, there's a forward button, and then you can pause so it stops going. All right, background is the background. I don't think there's anything startling for us here.
Let me pull the other one up. I've just downloaded it. So. I'm sorry, it's going a bit slowly. 32%.
Okay, we're going to be finished in 12 minutes anyway, so everyone's getting off early. We can afford the extra 2 minutes.
Hello.
We've got to get you a faster line at home, Marika.
Alan?
Yes.
I'm not in front of a computer. So if you're making a presentation, can you give a summary also?
Yes, it's on the wiki. Oh, okay. You're not on a computer. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Almost there, already at 90%.
Here it comes.
There you go. Do you want to give everyone control, or you?
No, you. Why don't you keep it and you can flip them? Okay. Title is going to. We will have a title slide. Background is basically asking the question: to what extent should registrants be able to reclaim domain names? A bit about the when it was formed. The five questions. And the work group is expected to make recommendations for best practices and or consensus policies. Next slide. A few bullets on the initial report. When we published it, what was in it, no recommendations included. Next. Public comment form. We had traditional comments. We also had a survey with 412 responses. And we've reviewed them and created, analyzed them, both the specific comments and the survey itself. Next. And now I've included two slides out of the summary I had done on the internal work group survey. And the first slide is showing a number of the issues. One is, should there be other warnings, who is, and post-expiry notices. The rationale for putting this in was to show that on most of the items, there was a huge spread between the position that taken by registrars and the position taken by the user representatives on the working group. And in the case of other warnings, most of the users said consensus policy, most registrars said best practice or status quo. McKaylee, question? I don't know how long your hand was up.
No, actually, leave it. It's fine.
Okay. And similarly, on post-expiration notices, there was a big gap. Next slide. They seem to be the same. Well, it was supposed to be in a different big gap. All right. I took another of the representative ones to show the types of differences. I obviously made a mistake in putting the pictures in, but this is done mainly as a setup for saying where we are now. Next slide. I then included two of the graphs that went along with the results we got from the user survey. The first one is the number of warning messages prior to expiration that people were asking for, and the numbers say one was, looks like it was about 20, 70 or so for two, 150 something for three, and perhaps 40 for greater than 3, just to show the spread. Next one. This was the number of days that users said they would like to see a guaranteed available for renewal. And there were about 60 less that said less than 30, 150 that said 30, 50 that said 45, 50 that said 60, and about 50 that said greater than 90. Again, just to show the spread among the users. Next question. But in general, users were remarkably consistent in saying they wanted that ability. Recent developments. The work group has compiled proposed recommendations. And the next wording is mine, but this is one of the ones that I think we need to get agreement on. Jeff, your hand's up. I'll give you a moment. And the next one says, among those on the calls, there has been a remarkable level of consensus on most issues. There are still a number of thorny ones. Jeff?
So two things. Let me just go backwards a second. I'm not sure the previous slides, Marika, you don't have to go through them. It's some of the other ones. I'm not sure what purpose is showing what, you know, the difference of, you know, the responses where you said, you know, the difference between the registrars in the group and the users. I'm just thinking about what that, you know, I know you're reporting this to the GNSO to the council, but I'm not sure what purpose it is. I think it just sort of shows, I don't think that it's a positive slide. It could be reporting and just, it could be a line item, but I don't know, you know, what the purpose is on that. I'm just throwing that out there.
Well,
go ahead.
I'll tell you what my purpose is, and if in general you think it's a bad idea, I'm quite willing to pull it out. Those reflect what has been essentially the conversation in this work group for the bulk of its whatever year and a half existence. We're now at a position where we have reached consensus on almost all the items.
Right.
I think that change is a message that is worth sending.
Okay, and I would like to just say, maybe I'll just throw this out there, but if you that last slide you just went to, instead of using, I know because it has so many just connotations and whatever about it, but using consensus, but instead of consensus to say agreement instead of that word.
Fine.
There's agreement on most issues, but I think it's suddenly everyone hears consensus, they're like, ooh, and suddenly it changes what it means, where I think it's more like agreement has been what we've seen, which I don't think is worse. I just think that's the proper term.
Well, I think ultimately we will have to use the word consensus because that is the term that is now being mandated for our formal reports.
Oh, I agree with you.
But at this point, since at this point we have not done anything wider than the people who happen to be on the calls when it's discussed, I can live with agreement. I have no problem with that.
Okay.
Marika, one of us should remember to do that.
I've made a note. So I'm happy.
Okay, James?
Hi, Alan. James speaking. And just a question or an observation about the previous slide, which shows a breakdown of survey responses for the length of the grace period. I don't know. Oh, there it is. Thank you. There we go. I'm just a little, I want to say it gives me pause, the impression that someone might come away with by looking at this slide. You know, I think that it shows that an idea may be popular, but I think that it kind of glosses over something that may have a significant impact to, you know, a singled out stakeholder group, if I can put it that way. So, you know, I'm not sure that this is painting a balanced picture. If your purpose is to show that, you know, this group was all over the map and now it's kind of coalesced around these things that you're presenting on the next slides, I think that's okay if you're showing it in terms of contrast. But, you know, I think I'm just concerned that we don't want to leave folks with an impression that just because something is popular means that within the
context of the working group participants that it is sort of an agreement or a point of agreement.
Well, I don't think we're claiming it's a point of agreement on the working group. This is very, very much the user survey. And clearly, I don't think there's anyone on this call who is going to strongly support the greater than 90 days, or even perhaps even the 60 days, just because we're much more aware of the contractual terms and you know, the historic ones and things like that. But I think this does show that users believe they have a right to this. Whether we give them that right is a different issue. I guess what I'm trying to present is that we did have a large number of people responding. Their answers were not uniform, and it's one of the issues that one of the inputs we're using into our process. I don't think that's misrepresenting it, but I'm willing to take direction if other people think it is.
Yeah, and this is James. I didn't think it was being necessarily misrepresentative. I think that maybe the picture needs to be qualified a little bit. That's all.
Well, and hopefully I will say the right word.
I mean, you did a good job just then.
Yeah,
and there. And I would
hopefully at this presentation there will be significant people at the meeting. At the Brussels meeting, they scheduled these reviews for a time when no one else was there because everyone else had competing meetings. But hopefully there'll be other people there to keep me honest.
Well,
there's certainly no intent to misrepresent.
Okay.
Jeff?
Hey, I'm sorry. I promised myself I wouldn't, like, wordsmith or do this, but this slide actually that's looking up, I just noticed it. Like, I thought it said days post. I didn't even notice until it said that that it's supposed to be guaranteed. That's supposed to be guaranteed renewal, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you look at it quickly, I swear I thought it was GTLD renewal, and it looks so close to it that
okay.
It took me a second. Yeah, if we could just write that out, because I honestly thought, until James brought it up, I thought it was GTLD renewal.
It's amazing how you can mislead people quite unintentionally. Yes, we'll make sure.
I don't think we'll make sure that it's
not misleadable.
Okay, and my wordsmithing is hopefully now done.
No, that's not wordsmithing. That's important. Thank you. All right, back to the next slide, Marika. All right, so we will have agreement on most issues. And the recommendations may include, and this is the laundry list, may include proposals to provide registrants with guaranteed right to recover registration following expiration, RGP as consensus policy, specific requirements for when and how notices are sent prior to expiration. And I think if we can squeeze the words in, we should add to that the concept of the what we're generically calling the domain going dark, but we need to find more words that are not misleading. But I think that's as quick a summary as you can get in half a slide of what we're looking at. Marika, it may be worthwhile that we try to divide this into two slides and put the recommendations on a separate one so we can go into a little bit more detail and not be as cryptic. That does mean you're going to have to find another picture, though.
That won't be a problem.
That was slight humor.
I've just removed pictures from other presentations, so I have plenty to choose from.
All right. Is there any more? Or is that the last one? Marika? Is that the last slide? Okay.
The link.
Okay. Now, Marika did have another bullet on that one, saying the final report will be a public comment period before it's issued, following it being issued. I think that's required by the bylaws, and I don't think we need to put a bullet on that. But if anyone feels strongly, we certainly can. Any comments? I think there's chat going on saying we have 30 minutes for this. I don't think we're going to use it. I think things are going well enough that we won't have to, but
Now, this is Marika. There's an hour set aside for the update of the IRTP working group and the post-exploration working group. So it's
okay.
Split between the two, and there's 30 minutes as well for the updating questions. And if we finish early, we finish early. I don't think council members mind having a few more minutes break time.
I'm sure we don't. I don't. All right. Anything else on the presentation? Okay, then we're down to the last item on our agenda of setting the next meeting. The next meeting that we could hold after Cartagena is on the 14th, which is just a day or so after people get back. The problem of skipping that one is the next one is the 21st, and I'm wondering to what extent are people already into Christmas vacation periods, or is the 21st generally acceptable to most people? I really don't want her coming back until January, if we can avoid it.
Yeah, Alan, before that, the meetings in Cartagena, are they going to be on, are you going to enable remote participation? I'm not going to be going to Colombia.
There is no formal meeting in Cartagena. The only meeting is the presentation to the GNSO. I assume the GNSO presentation has remote participation. Marika, do you know for sure?
It isn't, Rick. I'm assuming as well that there will be audio cast, and we'll have an Adobe Connect room that will be open to interested parties.
Okay, Marika. Okay.
Paul says he's taking off the rest of December. He will not be at any meeting we hold in December. Other people, Michele.
I don't have any issue with a meeting on that date you mentioned.
On the 21st? Okay.
What date would you be looking at starting again in January?
Well, in January, I would tend, if we have a meeting on the 21st, then the first date we could have it in January is on the 4th, or we could defer till the 11th. I don't know to what extent people take extended holidays after New Year's. How about if we send out a doodle on the for the 21st and for the 4th and see what participation would be like, and then make a decision based on that? Is that agreeable? Hear a tick mark. I don't hear any no's. I see no X's. I believe we have finished our agenda. I wish everyone safe travels for those who are traveling to Cartagena, and we'll see you there. And for those who are staying home, we'll speak to you on the telephone.
Okay, fine.
If there's nothing else, then I give you all back a half hour, I guess. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Al.